We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code. That's right. Welcome to Light Years. Samus Fandiari here. I got Andy Liu with me. We are through game one in every playoff series. It's, you know what? I'm enjoying it. Let's be honest.
What's the air? Okay, you're enjoying it. You're loving it.
The air was, I wasn't quite sure which way I wanted to go with. Okay, I haven't talked with you on the pod since Wolves Nuggets started
Wednesday. Yeah, right, last Wednesday.
And shocking. I'm legitimately shocked. I'm shocked. Not only am I shocked it's 2-0, I'm shocked at the way the games have gone. OKC winning game one with a little home crowd juice and Dallas looking a little tired, less surprising. I don't think I have as much of a read on how that series is going, but the Wolves and Nuggets, my God. Anyone who told you they saw this coming, particularly the way it happened, is full of shit.
Yeah, we're either watching one of two things. We're watching like a championship team grow up in front of our eyes, maybe like a two-time championship team, or just we're just watching like a collapse of a championship team, which is the Denver Nuggets. I kind of think, Sam, it's more of the latter. Kind of feel like the Nuggets are collapsing, but you got to give the Wolves credit, obviously, blah blah blah, great defense and all that fun stuff. But man, to me it feels like the Nuggets are falling apart, which is weird because they're a championship team, and it just feels like they're giving up. Feels like they just go back. You're just gonna go down by 30 at halftime, and you're not even gonna try to make a run. I don't know. Like the Wolves that good? They're really good, but damn.
Do you think that at game three being 4 days away, not gonna play till Friday, benefits Denver or hurts them at this point?
I hope it. It should benefit them. I hope they're gonna play better. I don't know. Jamal Murray hurt. Whatever. Well, Jokic. All that stuff. Man, it's weird vibes, it feels like. Or was Minnesota just that good? Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's a little bit of both, but to me, the number one story is how terrible Jamal Murray looks and how much it's kind of sent them in free fall. And I don't know, maybe a few days away is what they need. Like, they're kind of on life support as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's like you lose two at home. You're going to now need to win two on the road to have a shot in this series. So maybe a little length between game two and three helps them a little bit, but like it's shocking.
It feels like, you know, and I threw this comp out a few times, but I haven't done it on the pod yet. It feels like when I watched that Minnesota team overwhelm them with just their size and athleticism, and then you watch Denver, who's kind of just been a team all season that's been able to come back against teams. We saw it against Los Angeles. It does remind me of that OKC team when they put the screws on the Warriors, on the 73 Warriors. And now that came with Steph with that knee injury, which maybe you can compare Jamal to that injury on his calf. And And all of a sudden, I think you just kind of don't realize how much slower and less athletic Denver is. And in that series, Golden State, you remember the Warriors are going up against Ibaka, KD, Russ, Steven Adams. And
those guys. they felt really small. When you saw them against like OKC going full speed, you're like, oh, dude, they look tiny. And to your point, I remember in game four, I was watching it with our guy, Jacob. I remember being like, fuck, man, they're going to lose. It felt like a JV versus varsity type of feel, which is kind of how Denver and Minnesota's feeling now. It doesn't mean they can't come back, but.
But you remember that's the Warriors came back. They made a few adjustments. I mean, they kind of just played better defensively. They locked in. They actually wore the Thunder down. You saw KD and Russ by the end of that series were getting worn down. They got the crazy Clay performance. So maybe you compare that to Michael Porter Jr., maybe in game five, game six, whatever. But I don't know. It kind of looked like, because I'm with you, I thought the Warriors were going to lose that series, not the Cavs series. Never for a second I thought they were going to lose the Cavs series. But I thought they were overwhelmed. They're going to lose OKC for sure. Yeah. Maybe they blew it in five or six.
I thought the Warriors realized they couldn't run with them, and they just were like, we're going to out-execute you and wear you down with passing. And shout out our guy, Andre Iguodala, who never gets enough credit for everything he does for the Warriors. But it really was like, look, man, it was like a boxing match. It's like, I'm not going to beat you punch for punch because you're bigger, stronger, faster than me. What I can do is like dance a little more and wear you down and then win the Floyd Mayweather style. Right. I don't mean that but that's why he's, as good as he is, you kind of have to know sometimes that you can't go into that. And right now, when I watch the Denver Nuggets, I'm like, do they know that they can't beat these guys out? Cause like Jamal Murray specifically, and we keep focusing on him, but like, I don't know if he's faced a team who they can just pick him up three quarters court. They're like, you're not going to do shit, man. We're just gonna frustrate you. Everyone saw the highlight. Everyone saw that one highlight of Jay McDaniels and N'Keal Walker. Mm-hmm. Just frustrating him in a way that probably everyone's felt if they played any level of basketball. Like you play against someone who's bigger, faster, and you're like, I can't do anything here. I'm no longer going pro. It's not happening, For you and me, it was like 13, 12.
I was
going
to say that happened in middle school, actually.
Yeah, pretty seventh grade.
Yeah. No, but like, look at kind of, I think that's a great, that's the one, right? And then you turn it to Jokic, who I think all of a sudden you're like, well, KCP can't guard Anthony Edwards. He's too small. All of a sudden, Aaron Gordon, the Minnesota's just like, yo, Aaron Gordon, go get 35 if you can. But you can shoot as well as you can. You're not going to keep it up. Right, so all of a sudden, Jokic kind of feels like does he have enough offense around him? Maybe not. And then defensively, Jokic looks terrible right now. It just absolutely versus what we saw last year. Now, part of it is just like a bad matchup. But Sam, like this is kind of like what we talked about. It's like, man, you can't crown these teams so fast. Denver's now. I'm not saying the series is over. I mean, won a freaking championship, 2-0, fine. But I mean, Denver's got to find a way to fight through this. Or if they get swept, I don't know. This looks pretty bad on them because they're fully –
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look great on them.
It's the first time they've been punched in the mouth. It's the first time I've watched them like, oh, you got to dig deep. You got to adjust. You can't just go with your A game plan. Like, your A game plan is just, run a fucking pick and roll through Jokic, get some back cuts, like that sort of thing. Like, okay, these guys know what you want to do. Figure out how you're going to figure it out the way going forward.
Dig deep. Dig deep is the one. The Warriors used to dig deep. They can't do that anymore. But those Warriors used to dig deep.
Well, none of the talent, too. That's the other thing that watching this game, to take it back to the Warriors, which is why everyone's looking at this. The Wolves, and honestly, I feel the same way watching OKC. And, to a degree, I feel this way watching every team who's alive. Shocker, the teams who are alive are better than the teams who are not alive, Their wing play is just so much far ahead of the Warriors at this point. And I'm watching this and everyone's talking about, do they trade Wiggins? Do they not? What are they going to do with Clay? And I'm just sitting here, I'm going like, bro, just get rid of all of them. I'm done. Like, I'm sorry. Wing's a young man's position. I'm done with the Warrior Wings in a lot of capacities, because I'm watching like Jane McDaniels, who looks, by the way, like he should have actually won the Defensive Player of the Year. Shout out Rudy winning another fake award. But Jane McDaniels, to me, looks like a guy who should actually win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And then you look down the line, Nikhil Alexander Walker, who not DPOY, but like great defense. Anthony Edwards, obviously a great defender. If you watch the OKC game, Jalen Williams, Lu Dort, Aaron Wiggins, the less docile Wiggins.
Docile is a crazy word. That's amazing.
It's a good word. It's also a factual word. They're just bringing energy that I didn't see from the Warriors on the wings all year. And it's like watching those things where I'm like, man, I get that you don't hate this team. I get that they're not bad players and maybe that, but like, I just want to shake it up because I'm done. Two years I've watched these lazy fucks, you know?
you won't see me disagreeing with you, but I think counterpoint is let's do Minnesota. I think Minnesota and OKC are probably the best comparison. So let's go down your list of Nikhil Alexander Walker and then Jaden McDaniels and then Naz Reid, who I think Naz Reid's done a great job on Jokic. They don't talk about that enough. But I think when I think of those players, the difference between those players and the Warriors wings, because the Warriors have wings, they have athletic wings, is that these players, I think, don't care about trying to score 20 points. And I think in Jaden McDaniels' case, he also doesn't care about making money. Why? Because he's already made money. And Nikhil Alexander Walker has been traded 25 times in his career, so he's just trying to make it in the league. I know Chris Webber and Reggie had made that point yesterday. He was like, oh, this guy's been traded a ton of times. Hey, like, what Nikhil has to do to stay in the league is to play defense. Now, I'm not giving the Warriors wing excuses. Like, I'm not saying that because Kuminga wants it, but like, I think that's the one, right?
Yeah.
That's where, like, when you're Minnesota, you've got these guys that are just, like, locked in wanting to do those dirty work things. The Warriors guys don't. Wiggins did for one season and a half. And now he's like, look, I got 130 mil. Like, I'm chilling. I don't even got to show up. Kuminga's like, I'm trying to get my bag. But also, I'm just trying to score 20 points a game, right? And then Moses Moody's like, actually, Pods is probably the only guy that's like, I'm going to do all these dirty things, but Pods my height. So it's like, it's hard. So that's
Pod 6'4". Don't disrespect.
He's 6'4". Plays like he's 6'2". Like that's a thing. It's just like that's the. And then you go to OKC, same thing. You brought those wings up, same thing, right? Those guys, Aaron Wiggins. How many teams is like G League guy, right? And then you bring up Lu Dort, who's been a dog his whole career. Like his thing was playing
undrafted. Defense, right? Yeah, it's same concept as Naz Reid, where it's like no one gave them anything. They all have
that's the one,
right? the Draymond mentality, where it's just kind of like, okay, you took Jeremy Tyler over me, you took Festus Ezeli over me, I'm about to show you why I'm going to play over those guys, you know? So I get what you're saying. You can't fake that. You know, Wiggins was a first overall pick who's made $250 million. Why? I don't know. But, you know, shout out 2022. You had your 1 year. Yeah. And then like Kuminga, like undoubtedly he's a lottery pick with higher aspirations than being a defensive wing. At this stage in his career, he's thinking of himself as a potential star. He's not thinking of himself as, I'm going to be like Jaden McDaniels.
Jaden McDaniels, I was just going to say.
He's thinking I'm going to be Ant, you know?
You think he wants to be Jimmy? If you're like Kuminga, like you could be Jaden McDaniels. How much money do you think Jaden McDaniels is going to make in his career? 200 mil plus. Like he's already going to get paid this guaranteed contract coming up.
Yeah, he's already got 120 over 5 years, which ironically is going to look like the most team-friendly deal the way he's going right now.
True.
But yeah, no, I mean, that point stands. And then, you know, you didn't mention it, but Clay.
Yeah,
right. Clay, there's no comparison for him on those other teams, but the aging star who maybe is not willing to accept that his days of being the alpha are over, that's another thing that they have to work with on the wings, where it's like, you know, he can't really be that like dog chasing guys down defense. Like physically he can't do it. But offensively, he still wants to be the man. And I don't know. It's
Agree.
It all ties to like, yeah, the Wolves guys know who they are. The Thunder guys know who they are. Yep. The Warrior guys, there's probably differences between who they are and who they want to be. Yeah. And everything is it might just be that simple. Sometimes it's just that simple. You know, if Kuminga wanted to be Jaden McDaniels, life would be a lot easier. You know, if Wiggins wanted to be Aaron Wiggins, life would be a lot easier. And if Clay accepted that he's a bench shooter,
bingo,
life would be a lot easier. But that's not the scenario we saw all year. So here's where we are. It stands out when you watch these teams who are clearly more streamlined and know who they are right now.
Yeah, that's it. By the way, you don't even have to compare it to OKC and Minnesota too. Like, that's who the Warriors used to be. Like, Andre Iguodala used to come off the bench for Harrison Barnes. It's not even a comparison to who was better, who was more impactful, right? Like, they used to, you know, Sean Livingston, you know what I mean, 20 minutes. You know, as the guy off the bench, the Andrew Barbosa. Now, these are vet guys, so maybe that's kind of the difference too. Like some of these, I would consider Nikhil Alexander Walker. I love that one that you brought up. Like, I would almost consider him a vet because of how much shit he's seen in the NBA. Just how much stuff did he's gone doing that? I would consider him a vet. And some of these Warriors guys, it's like, I mean, I people hate me because I always feel like I'm gonna pick it on Kuminga, but he's had a kind of a tough road, but I mean, he's also like kind of immature. Like, it's just kind of how it is. And that sometimes you just got to get it out of you. Like, if he was traded four times, tell you what, he'd be the one trying to stay in the league. He'd be trying to play better defense. But
or if he was traded to a team where they're like, all right, we're going to let you be the man. We're going to let you what Jalen Green does, you know? We'd find out quickly, but he's kind of in a Holton pattern, right? Like, the Warriors neither give him the space to figure out what he is and he isn't, or trade him somewhere he could, you know? So,
which is the Warriors' fault. I guess maybe we go back to that. That's the long piece. It's like, hey, you can blame the players all you want, but it's like, hey, Bob, hey, Joe, maybe you guys just put these dudes in tough situations, man. Like, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Like, I'm not going to rule out the possibility that if he was to get that level of touches, he could be that guy.
I'm ruling it out.
But like, like, my point is, you know, you don't know.
Yes.
All right. Let's go with the other bad guy situation, which is
think about free agency and other moves that can be made. You look at scoring. The Magic can open up in excess of $60 million in cap space this offseason. So they're going to be players. When you think about free agency and other moves that can be made, you look at scoring. In game 7, obviously struggled a little bit to score the ball, especially in the second half of the game when the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell kept coming for them. So you look at the point guard position, but also shooting and scoring on the wing. And just one name to keep an eye on, Klay Thompson. Right. I'm told there is mutual interest between the Magic and Klay Thompson.
All right, that's Shams reporting what everyone's heard 100 times all year, which is the Magic want Klay Thompson. I want to start here. Hilarious, this comes out the day after their Game 7 collapse where no one could hit a jump shot. I mean, that works out for Klay's agent negotiation-wise. No other way around that. Like, if you're trying to get Klay paid, you're like, hey, those dudes who everyone on earth was tweeting about how they could use a shooter, they want him, you know, pay up, Warriors. But the other part of me is just watching that. And I don't know how much of it's playoff context, but I'm just sitting here. I'm going like, I don't care. He's one of my favorite players. I'm never going to say a true ill word about Klay Thompson. Like, he's about Rushmore for the Warriors, right? But I'm over if Orlando, if he's like 25 mil or I leave, tip the cap, bro. Tip for me, I'm done with it. I think it's time to move on. I'm over it. And you know what? It'll be like the Bumgarner in a Diamondbacks jersey where you're just like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, as fuck, you know, that sort of thing.
I think the game is what's annoying you. I think it's less so like him going there. I think it's the gall of someone to just be like, hey, I want all this money, when it's like, man, come on, man. What are we doing here, dude? Either you want to play with the Warriors or you don't want to play with the Warriors. Like, we're not doing this whole fucking game. Team's not that good anymore. You're not that good anymore. Like, you just want to run somewhere to get an extra $10 million. Like, just go ask China for $10 million. They'll give you $10 million in like 2 minutes, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And I think I agree with you. I agree. It's just like the Warriors give him 240, and then he's just like, well, the Metro give me 260. Give me 260. It's like, well, dude, I really agree with you. And I think part of it's like understanding that I don't know what they're even going to do if he's gone. Like, I guess Moses Moody's going to play that role. And I don't know like what's going to happen there. Maybe he's more consistent. Maybe the floor is higher, because it feels like Clay's been shooting. Like, he's had some streaky moments, but I don't know. I don't know. But I think maybe you and I are just sick of the,
it's watching the team. They're not a Clay extension away from being back. So maybe it's unfair to put this on Clay, but I'm watching the team. I'm like, look, here's what I think they actually need. They need a real second option, because I think those days are beyond him. To me, he's a bench shooter at this point. They also need to find, they either need to figure out how to fix Wiggins or find a guy who can be that like high level defensive wing. So that's a second player. Probably need to get another big man to go with Trace at minimum. So now we're at three players they need to acquire, which, by the way, it's not easy given their cap situation. And we're talking about, like, is Clay going to get 30 or 40 million a year? All right, man. If your goal is to pinch every penny on the way out the door, then so be it. Like, we're 10 seed last year. 10 seed last year. If Moses Moody means they don't make the play-in as opposed to being the 10 seed, like, I don't really care. It's not like I didn't feel particularly special about that. So,
yeah, no, that's I think this was the ending, if it is, that I don't know if I saw coming, because I do think Clay ends up coming back probably on a team-friendly-ish contract. So I do think that'll happen, for what it's worth, on the record. I've been saying that this whole time.
Yeah, you could be right, just to be clear. I'm just like, I'm obviously reacting to what is clearly a news break meant to get a reaction.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you. All right, we'll get to some other fun stuff. We gotta go with more Warrior stuff, because around the NBA too. We are the Light Years Podcast, brought to you by Prize Picks. PrizePicks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 5 million members. It is the most fun and exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats for a shot to win 100x your cash. PrizePicks is the most fun I've had winning up to 100x my money this basketball season. You got quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types for what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. I made my first $10 deposit and received an instant $10 bonus. If you have the skills, you can play for a shot at turning your $10 into $1,000. Playoff time is right now. Ooh, who did you get? Who did you pick more or less on tonight's game? What do we got?
I made my play on Luka. I took the under. I felt good about that. But I also took the over on Jalen Williams. And he came so close. It's the worst thing on earth when it's like the over's 21 and you get 18. I'm like, yeah, so close. But you know what? That's on me. I'm still net neutral ahead right now. I made a lot of money on betting against James Harden in the last round. So, you know, I built up my bankroll on James Harden, and now I'm ready to go.
Now you're free rolling. And then you got our favorite series, the Anthony Edwards. You can get more on more than 29 points, and Nikola Jokic for more than 10 rebounds. I'm pretty sure that's a pretty safe bet. Their next game this Friday, you've got Chet Holmgren, more than 2 blocks. Daniel Gafford tonight, more than 2 blocks. I mean, that's incredible. So This playoff season, star players mean more in Prize Picks. So keep an eye out for star players on the board, like Luka. And you could receive a 10% payout bonus even if they're in your winning lineup. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more. Pick less. It's that easy. LIGHTYEARS podcasts were brought to you by Unified. Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Bay or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com, unifyd healing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifyd healing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical practice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Is this screen sharing for you?
Yes, sir.
Not for me. Anyway.
I see it, though. Paul George likely to test free agency. Our guy.
Paul George is likely to test free agency per Windhorse. So he's been under contract negotiations with the Clippers for months, no deal, and I think he's likely headed to free agency. The question really is this: will they give him a max contract? I don't think they want to. You know what? In some ways, the Paul George situation is a lot like the Clay situation. They haven't had the success the Warriors have had, but they're looking at it from the perspective of, we've done a lot for you guys. You haven't always come back on your end with the success. So how about you do us a favor on this end a little bit? Like, is it not like at its core the same? And I'm not saying, again, I'm not like, he hasn't accomplished for the Clippers what Clay's accomplished for the Warriors, but is it not like the same idea at the end of the day where they're just like, enough, dude. How many private planes do we have to send for you? Can you just take 40 instead of 50?
I felt like that would have been a discussion with James Harden. I didn't really guess I saw this one coming with Paul George, but if you've been following that team for a while, it makes sense. I do think the casual fan probably more frustrated with Paul George. Just because the casual fan probably looks at Clay and just be like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. You know, four championships. But I hear you on the front. It's the angst.
You respect the fact that, like, look, man, he did a lot for the team. If the end is ugly, it is what it is.
Fine, exactly.
At least they accomplished it.
Well, PG, it's like, I don't know how many Clippers fans are out there, but it's like, dude, you came here. You freaking, what did you guys win? What did you accomplish? what did the Clippers accomplish? Did they accomplish more than the Lob City Clippers, or less, or the same?
Same. It's slightly scarier on paper. That's about
right.
It.
and they've been. I don't even know. Yeah, you're right. Because the Lob City Clippers, I don't think they were ever title contender. And like this Clippers team,
they went to the second round. This team's been to the second round. Like ultimately,
same shit, man.
You know, both teams would blame injuries in random years as being the reason they didn't go on a run. But, like, you know, that's the reality of what they did. You know,
how good is Paul George?
In 2024?
Yes.
Like you're not talking about, like, how good is, like, the peak Paul George? Like, yeah, today, right now, what is Paul George?
If Warriors were to sign him, how good is he?
Somewhere between the 15th and 30th best player in the NBA. I think he is a high-level second option, but I think he is showing signs of aging. The defense isn't what it always used to be. He can really shoot the ball. Like, for all the – here's how I feel. For all the Lowry Markkanen hype, I think Paul George is better at the same role than him. Like, the dude shot 41% on 10 threes a game. And he can pass, and he can create, and he's a good defender. I don't know if he's an all-world defender anymore. He's like, it's funny because through a Warriors context, I'm looking at him like, oh, he's everything I want around Steph. You know, he's like kind of Kevin Durant light, you know? Yeah. Obviously, nowhere near as good, but you're like, dude, his bad year is 23 points a game on high efficiency from everywhere on the floor. And you can run enough offense through him where he gets 4 to 5 assists a game. And he's kind of that point forward hub that they don't really have outside of Draymond and, you know, all that sort of stuff. At the same time, you know, he's just kind of always be compared to KD, Kawhi, and LeBron. And he is not that guy. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's fair for the Clippers to blame him for not being that guy, but I think there's, you know, this last one's a perfect example. Okay, Kawhi goes down. You have James Harden. You have good role players. You still get worked. Now, personally, I feel James Harden's a negative. Like, I don't think he's a good, like, I actually think he makes it worse. I blame Harden for everything because I think he's legitimately a terrible, like, playoff player. But I could see how a less biased human would view this and be like, you two That's couldn't so get good. One game, dude? Couldn't That's get so another
good.
Game?
That's so good. I ask because I think Paul George is the perfect fit for the Warriors. Now the question becomes, like, I don't know how they get him. Just, I don't fucking know how it's possible. I'm sure if he wants to be a Warrior, they find a way, depending on what contract he wants. I don't think he's signing for cheap, but yeah, dude, you said it, the KD light stuff. Now they still have to put a couple bigs around him. They still need to put, like, they need to
some athletes.
Wing. Yeah, he cannot be your number one wing guy. Like, he's just way too old for that. And of course, he's not going to be your number one scorer. You've got Steph, right? So I think of the guys that the Warriors can obviously LeBron and KD are at the top, but those aren't realistic. But beyond that, like, I'd rather go all in on Paul George rather than Brent Ingram, even though Ingram's way younger and theoretically could be better than Paul George. But, like, I'd rather have Paul George.
I think I agree with you, and I've thought about this a little bit. He's going to be cheaper to acquire, which means when it all ends, you're not going to look like the Suns where they don't have a draft pick for 10 years. And everyone's just like, Warriors have a better future than them. I don't know if the Warriors have a better future than them. I know they have no future. I just don't know if the Warriors have one either, you know, but I know they have shots at a future, which matters.
They've already messed up a couple times, but yeah, fair enough.
It's better than not having a shot at a future. And, you know, I'm curious if, because the only way they can get him is if he doesn't opt out and demands a trade to the Warriors, and then you get into some sort of Chris Paul, Wiggins, and Kuminga for him scenario. And the Clippers would have to agree to it, which, it's like, all this sounds great for the Warriors, where it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to give you Chris Paul and Wiggins. You know? Yeah, exactly.
And take it.
But I don't know if they want to do it. So, like, it's a lot of maybes. But to me, I agree with you. The idea of Paul George, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and then the other two starters are Trayce Jackson-Davis – types, guys who have just high energy. Like, you know, we're talking about how, like, OKC has a bunch of dogs, like Aaron Wiggins and stuff like that. Like, you put those three guys with high motor guys around them, I think you got something.
Yeah.
I think you got something. Yeah. Like, it does that plus Trayce and Moses Moody get it done? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But, like, the concept makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Comments are killing me. Somebody said, hey, he also podcasts. Like, don't discount that. Don't discount that. You know what I'm saying? Draymond and Podcast P. Podbon and Podcast P. Two dogs. Two podcast dogs. I'm with you. That team is also, you know, that team's a little frail. It's a little old. It's a lot old. But it fits a lot better. You know, you get your second option. who's still a good scorer. He's always got that, like, I don't get to the rim enough type of vibe, but I mean, he's just a
player. Yeah, Clay doesn't get to the rim either.
I don't think Clay knows what that is. That was something called for. I don't know why I said that. But it's just like in the scenario, you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
they still need your, you know, Nikhil Alexander, is he going to be the name of the show tonight? Cause I feel like we talked about, he's the guy.
I mean, if you watch what he did on Monday, like, yeah. Especially. Yeah. Just pure like envy. Envy is the right word. It's like, Warrior players just like either not try or try and fail, and I'm just like, I can't just do that,
you know? To try harder. I tweeted out, try harder. You're watching Minnesota just engulf the Nuggets, and like you're right though. You know, all this stuff, we say all this stuff, and it may not matter, but I don't know. It's fun to watch. It would be really fun to watch the Warriors go all in this offseason, because you know it didn't feel like they've done that the last two seasons at all. You know, they've been playing the game, just. Get guys that want to win and want to do the right things to win. I think they've got guys that want to. I don't think they've got guys who want to do the right things to win. And Paul George is a step there. 35, somebody said. Wow. Didn't know that.
First off, he turned 34 2 days ago. Dudes are on it. Dudes are literally, it was across my Twitter feed, like, because I feel bad at this point. Like, you know, people post on Instagram, it's like, happy birthday. And it's like, they're just trying to make fun of him for, you know, kind of corny Instagram videos, that sort of thing. But it's like, yeah, he turned 34 2 days ago. Now all of a sudden the mentions are saying he's 35. maybe I'm sensitive to this.
Yeah, the comments are great. Not with his Achilles and knee. Yeah, he's, all these guys have a lot. It's just the Warriors.
34 is the new 27. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I've looked at Steph burnout this season and I'm just like, man, how could they, maybe Gui Santos, you know, maybe that's their Aaron Wiggins, you know, Gui Santos, he was an enjoyable watch. I think is Paul George the best fit? You know, they've got better fits, but I think he's the best. I don't know if it's, how realistic is it though? You're saying it's a sign, it have to be an opt-in, and that doesn't seem realistic.
Here's the lame answer for everyone listening. We'll have a better idea in 4 to 6 weeks how realistic any of these fits are. I think it's possible, but it requires a lot of moving parts. So, like, he has to want it, you know? If this was 5 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, done deal. Who doesn't want to be with these dudes, you know? But I don't know where they land. We're just two dudes at this point speculating every scenario, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, he ain't go back to the Clippers, it feels like.
That's the thing. It looks like maybe this is all negotiation posturing at the end of the day, and Ballmer's going to cut him a huge check and be like, hey, you and Kawhi, you haven't done shit, but I'm going to give you 10 more shots, you know?
Insane.
Right? Or maybe they shake it up. I guess this is where optionality helps the Warriors, right? Like, because they do have the ability to pivot on one of these moves. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I say we get to that. Let's see. We got a couple goons here. Let's see what people have to say. If you are watching on YouTube, hit subscribe. We appreciate it. Also, you can hop over to Playback if you want to come on the stream. We will always bring people on when we go live on Playback. So, yeah. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Yeah, you know, just a normal Tuesday night, enjoying the Warriorless playoffs as much as one can.
Entering the dog days of, you know, sports summer soon, which is a bummer because the playoffs have been so good.
Yeah.
I missed the games today. I saw Fall Guy. Worth a squad.
Good.
You know, it's an enjoyable flick, is what I'd say.
Yeah.
Gosling's charming.
Yeah, Emily Blunt.
Yeah, Emily Blunt, you know. Yeah.
I'm down.
I think
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
I mean, after Edge of Tomorrow. God, timeless classic. Yeah, I think I've been floating in between, like, you know, there's like between getting an aging superstar, like an aging superstar, obviously, like, you know, LeBron or whoever could become available, Paul George, you know, unlikely, but, you know, if they could do it, or between, like, you know, two players, these aren't, like, gettable guys probably, but someone between, like, a Murray and Jared Allen. Last time I mentioned, as a joke, Miles Turner, I got booted, so I won't mention that name ever again. I know that's a podcast. That was just because I was reaching for players. I just kind of want to know your thoughts on that. And then the second, I think, like, watching these playoffs, I'm just kind of, probably with everyone else, kind of just over the team in general.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I just don't care. Like, before I was like, oh, like, you know, Wiggins will come back. Like, I, you know, like, we won 46 games, and I was like, the real part of me knew, like, none of that mattered and that something needed to change, but, like, I was, you know, grasping at straws. And I was watching these playoffs, and I was like, no one on the team gives a shit, you know, outside of a few guys. So I think just in general, if they just did something, I think at this point I'd be happy. And last thought is, Clay is probably one of my all-time favorite players, maybe Iguodala, like, from a 76ers Denver game. But I'm also over the contract stuff. Like, and, like, just the, I think the Shams video I saw, like, this morning, I was just like, come on, man. You know? So, I think I prefer him on the team, but, like, it's just between that, like, Draymond, you go back to Jordan Poole, Kuminga, like, there's always been stuff going on with the team. I think I'm finally at the point, like, can we just play basketball? That's it. Hope you guys have a good night.
I love it. You actually describe my emotional state better than anyone, which is I don't have hard feelings towards anyone. I just watched 164 games, so two straight seasons. Actually, I'm going to throw the playoff games into it too. 175 games of miserable basketball. And so I'm over assigning the blame. I'm over being like, it's all Draymond's fault. It's all these people. I don't give a fuck whose fault it is. I just want something new. I'm over it. I want something new. I think Steph Curry is still a championship worthy player. Just make an effort to put a team around him. And when he becomes old and washed, then, you know, Andy and I will start scouting high school players.
Yeah, The drama is cool when you're winning, but now the same drama just doesn't matter when you suck.
Yeah, and so, like, I think between, like, you know, like, the debates of, like, is it the coaching, is it the players? Like, the players don't get the opportunity, but, you know, we're not developing. It's like, I just don't care. Like, I just want something good to happen.
I think we're aligned, my man. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Have a good night, guys.
Have a great evening. Yeah. I'm with you. I've gone through periods where I'm like, it's all Steve's fault. Fuck Steve. You know, that sort of thing. I gone through periods where it's all Kirk's fault and all Kent's fault. I don't care whose fault it is. Just change it.
I don't. I really don't. Unless Steve's not going anywhere. Steph's not going anywhere. Draymond's going to go anywhere. Everybody else.
Kirk and Kent not going anywhere either.
All right, who's next?
Abdullah, what's up, man?
Hey guys, nothing much, just enjoying being back in the Bay for the week. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, so enjoying
like actual Bay or San Jose Bay.
We're gonna do this again. If it makes you feel better, Sam, I flew into SFO, so I was in quote unquote the actual Bay earlier today.
I recognize the voice, and it was too easy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's too easy. I get it. Okay, I wanted to talk out to what I think are fun and incredibly unlikely scenarios. So I wanted to get you guys' take. The first is Lakers just booted Darvin Ham, and I was like, everybody's talking about LeBron coming to the Warriors, and I know LeBron wants to, like, handpick the next coach. What if LeBron gets in Genie Buss's ear and is like, I want Steve Kerr. Make it happen. I don't care if it's impractical. I want you to trade some picks for Steve Kerr. Does Dunleavy pick up the phone? And does he convince Joe Lacob, if we can get a first-round pick or two out of the Lakers, maybe we do it. You can save $35 million. I know you just extended them, but we can use this to try to flip and get some more guys that can help out Steph. And then the second unlikely scenario, we got a 4% chance of holding our pick. Let's say crazy shit happens and we get a top four pick. What would they possibly do with that pick? So both of these I know are way the fuck out there, but I do think they're fun. You guys' take.
Hey, listen. If the Warriors have the fourth overall pick and they fucking use it to draft someone, I'm going to become a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. I'm going to only watch WNBA. A team's coming to the Bay Area. I am not watching the fucking Warriors. If they get the fourth pick.
Shout out Paige Buchers.
Oh, thank God. Please. My sister loves her. If they use it to draft another fucking guy that doesn't know how to play basketball, that we have to wait 5 years for, I'm done.
Alexander Sarr, baby. Alexander Sarr.
No, I don't care.
I actually think what I was going to say is this is the perfect draft for them to have a pick because there's no consensus top four. It's not like it's like, oh, Wemby and like this. So no one's going to trade for the pick because no one's dying to have a top four pick in this draft. They're going to do that thing where they're like, well, we couldn't get anything worth it. So we're going to draft this player. Fuck off. They're going to take a high tools player who they have no clue how to develop. And then it's going to be a 4-fucking-year debate about how, you know, Steph needs to relax and let this French kid figure out how to dribble. It's just, I don't think it benefits the Warriors at all. Because also, it hamstrings their future ability to make trades. But yep. It's like a perfect fuck up for them because they'll be like, oh, we got the third pick. Let's go. You know, like that sort of thing. And then we're going to sit here and we should be like, oh, no. I know exactly how they're going to screw this whole thing up because I've seen it 4 times.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
It's like a slow moving car crash, right?
Yeah, I think you guys are right, which is also such a bummer of like, what type of situation are we in as a fan base? We're like, man, we're really fucked if we end up winning like a top three pick in the draft.
I think it's unique. If they won last year's pick, everyone would be like, oh, go, yeah. Wemby, let's go. You know, it's not a big deal. I think it's this is one of those drafts. I feel very confident saying this. This is one of those drafts where the best player overall will be like the 14th pick, which is to say, no one knows who's good in this draft because no one stood out, which means if having a top pick is like the worst thing on earth because you feel pressure to take tools over just like, you know, last year it was like pretty obvious. You take Wemby number one. Like, yeah, I didn't need Andy to be like, Andy, look at his footwork. Just know what he's doing, you know, like that. Like, it's pretty obvious.
It would be great if the only reason that pick would be great if they got it is so that they can just package it in a trade because it's more valuable. It's they can now more valuable than nothing, right? Maybe, but it's like now they can do it perfect. Just package that, package Kuminga, package Moody, put Wiggins' contract in there, fucking send them all out. Get him out of here. I'm tired of it. Get him out. And that way, we're done with the kids. Enough with it. Give me Paul George. And I got all old guys. They'll play 60 games, but at least I'll enjoy watching my team.
Duel, I appreciate you, man.
Duel, I love you, but I'm annoyed.
Because you know they're not going to do it. You know they're going to draft someone. You know they're going to lie about how they can make it work this time. Now I'm mad. Anyway.
I know. What a great call. That's real Pat. You know, he got us really going there. Great scenario. All right, who we got? Oh, we got Gio. Let's go. What do we got for us? Oh, no.
We got Kenny. Then we got Gio.
All right.
Gio's going to hit last. Hey, guys.
Duvall.
What's up, Ken?
How you doing?
You know, just hanging out.
It's kind of fun watching really good basketball.
I miss when I had a Warrior jersey on.
Yeah, I didn't see any of those. But, I mean, like, just watching, they're just so intense. The way they play that defense, it's just really, really fun to watch. And it's kind of nice to see just, you know, Kyrie, he is amazing with the ball in his hand. He is amazing, you know. So those are good things.
Not stressful for us either. It's just enjoyable.
Not stressful.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a question for you. What do we have, like a 3.5% chance for this, for the first 1 through 4 pick? would you trade that to some team up at the top or some team that has a ton of picks for like a late first or an early second rounder? Because some teams have like 5 or 6 picks in this draft. You know what
I mean? So you're saying just trade that they get our ping pong balls. Like
trade the ping pong balls right now for a early second round pick.
Not even a question. I do it today. I feel very strongly this is a terrible draft to have a top 4 pick in. This is like it's one of those drafts where someone's going to pick a player at 22 and be like, I don't know why people thought it's a bad draft. We're doing well. Bad draft just means, you know, May, June, no one has any idea who's good. You don't have a Wembanyama. You don't have a Anthony Edwards or whatever you want to call it. So I would do that.
Isn't the lottery this weekend or something like that?
I think it's early next week, but I'll double check. NBA draft.
But right now we have a 3 or 4% chance.
You're correct. It's Mother's Day Sunday. That would be shout out moms. Man, shout out moms and
so that moms. That 3 or 4% chance. It's either we either get a 1 through 4 pick or it's dust.
Isn't it like a 1% chance? Isn't it like a?
But I will say it's better. Well, I don't want to say better, but if it doesn't convert, then the Warriors have clean trade options because they've conveyed their pick. Well, and then they can trade all their future picks should they want to.
Should they?
If the pick doesn't convey, then they can't trade next year. They can't trade. You know, it's like it turns into the whole thing. So it's like settling a bet. It's like, all right, all family debts have been settled.
Right. I will say this though. Dunleavy did do pretty good in the draft last year. And if they know that they've got a pick and he's got a month before the actual draft,
I can't do it.
You know, he'll either find someone or they'll get some offer to someone will want that pick once they know what their order is.
I do trust Dunleavy more with talent evaluation than the previous regime. Ken, yes. We appreciate you. Yeah.
Hey,
keep moving.
Ken's always in a great mood. You know, it makes me laugh. It makes me smile.
He is Ken's good. Ken's guy. A light years legend.
Yes, he is.
Man of the show. Here is a man who brings us down. Gio, what's up?
Dude, I'm positive all day, okay? I'm almost positive. Like,
yes.
Here's my question, right? So, like, the Nuggets, was it last year, right? I think they let – last year they let Bruce Brown walk, right? Then this summer, like, Pope is probably gone, and maybe AG as well, right? Like, those guys are on the – well, because, like,
Pope, if they're gone, they're fucked. I'll tell you that.
Well, the thing is, right, because of, like, I guess it's like an apron, like, this sort of can't pay, like, Pope and AG or extend AG next summer. Like, they sort of have to choose. Yeah, because AG is up for an extension and Pope can opt into his contract. So then.
I'll take your word for it.
First off, they already extended Aaron Gordon. Although. He does have an opt out after next year, so it's a fake extension. That's fair. Yeah. Okay.
So my question tonight. So like, and then you have like the Wolves who have to pay Towns like, was it this summer or next summer? Like, I don't know when. Like,
sure.
Yeah. So like, my thing is right. There's like, there's between now and like next year. There's a gap where the Warriors could like somehow improve and get almost near those teams.
This is what I like to hear. This is what I like to hear.
Like, is Town back next year? Like, I don't maybe. Like,
oh, shit. They're about to win the championship. You know?
I mean, the thing is, like because of the second apron, like, teams don't want to pay those guys. So, like, my thing is, like
A-Rod don't got money? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Maybe. But, like, yeah, but my thing is, right? Like, there's that the Warriors.
So, is this not what the Warriors are doing, though? Where, like, look, I don't want to be an apologist for them, but their entire angle is. We want optionality, which is to say we have the ability to add salaries or like be opportunistic when these opportunities come up.
The thing is, right? The
Warriors, I fully expect them to fuck it up, but you know, in theory,
the thing is, right? Yeah. The thing is what? last summer that they should have gotten KP because then I think they'll be a lot closer to those teams if they did, because like they could have gotten like Siakam and like the mid season, and your team's a lot closer to those teams by next year. Like that was the fuck up. Like they got CP KP. But my thing is, right, I think next year if they do it right next summer, like they could at least be closer to those teams, right? Like that's my hope, honestly. That's my hope.
I do. I don't know about next summer versus this summer, but I do appreciate EGO bringing it in, and it is interesting. Oh, yeah. Like good I'm looking call. At it right now. Denver's at the second apron. They're probably going to have to choose between KCP or Aaron Gordon.
They'll choose Aaron Gordon.
Or they're going to decide not to be cheap. One or the other, you know?
That's why they drafted Christian Watson. Payton Watson. And
Christian Payton Watson is kind of nice. But yeah, I hear you. Like, they're undoubtedly, if they go that route, it's a step backwards first, you know?
And that's what you're seeing with Minnesota coming up. Hey, that's a good point. I thought about that, but I don't know. It doesn't matter what they do. The Warriors got to figure out how to get Paul George week, ladies and gentlemen. Paul George week. May 7th.
Is it Paul George week?
Yeah, we'll make it some week. Maybe when the we'll close it out here. What's the implosion team in the second round right now that we can think about?
You know, I think we had enough good implosions in round one. We got LeBron losing in five games. We got Brandon Ingram looking like a bum. Paul George not getting an extension.
Yeah. That is three.
Is there anyone I'm forgetting? Suns. We didn't even talk about it, but Pat Riley went full boomer on Jimmy Butler.
I gotta say, I agree with him. Jimmy Butler's cool. The act is cool, but you're not a championship player. You're not a championship alpha. You can't be acting like Steph and LeBron when you're freaking Jimmy Butler. You know.
Then he's gonna go out there in a game six on the road with a non-functioning leg and score 40. Yeah, you know, so he's
in round one.
Anyway. Luke, what's up, man?
Oh, okay.
Hey, boys, how are you?
What's up, man?
You know, twisting our heads in hypotheticals that I'm less than confident will come to fruition. But yeah,
let's get all the miserable shit out of the way. First of all, Andy, congrats for actually sealing the deal and actually getting the job done for our fucking team. So good stuff. That's great. You got that fun through. So congratulations all around. Joe Lakers, take a few tips from you, mate. Get the job done. So, I'm sorry I missed the last one. But again, at least you show up, I guess. I haven't heard from Joe Lakers yet. So, I mean.
Yeah, it's nice that they keep him away from media when the theme sucks, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, I still haven't heard anything though, right? So, I mean, I guess it's all good, right? But, now I've got the positive stuff out of the way. I don't know about you boys, but I didn't hear a couple of calls beforehand, but I'm actually miserable watching this playoffs. Pretty miserable, because I look at it and I go, even though we're pretty far away and we're shit, I'm like, just one or two more positive moves would have made the world. Like, they could have beaten these dudes round one, a couple of these round one. Like, mate, like what are we doing?
You're not impressed by Shea Gilgeous Alexander?
No, I'm not. Again, I'm not here to hate another team. So don't drag me down to that level, Sammy. I get so triggered watching these teams, man. I get so triggered looking at Andy's timeline going, oh, I guess we suck balls this year. I'm like, yeah, mad. Awesome, man. But just like, I can't believe we're here. It's the 8th of May. And we're fucking talking about draft when we've got one of the best players of all time. And we're talking about a fucking draft. Like, what are we doing? Like, I hope Slater's getting some good rest, mate. Because, fuck, I need some hit pieces next couple of weeks, eh? Like, fuck, get set. I need some, like, audio leaks, some video security camera leaks of someone fucking up. Because I cannot sit and cop another 2 months of either. Can you guys just imagine if someone like the Thunder win the fucking title? Just let that sink in for a second. SGA could be the finals MVP. Just let that sink in for a second, boys. Because it's very possible. Like I've got a mate here who's a Boston fan. He was so dark 2 years ago. He still hasn't gone over. He's that scarred from it. He's like, I don't trust this team in the playoffs. Can you imagine if they get to the
final? If Boston, I tell you this: if Boston don't win the championship this year,
That's what I was getting to, Andy. That's exactly right. That's what I was getting to. Like, Imagine if they somehow fuck this up. Like, seriously.
You've got to. Kate Porzingis is going to be back next week.
They have to win the title this year. They have to win the
title. Derek White is Steph now. Like, you just, I don't know how you can't. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, Anthony Edwards, I'm not going to shit on the bloke because you know what? He talks the talk and he walks the walk. Yeah, good luck to him. But I'm telling you right now, if Draymond goes on a fucking podcast and talks about the finals and Rudy Gobert is in the finals, I think that's going to be it for me, boys. I just don't know if I can do it. Anyway, I just feel like that whole situation is an indictment on what you boys have said for a year now, a year plus, all the fucking wrong decisions that they've made. They've basically put themselves in a position now where, I know you said Butler before, mate, I'd take Butler in a heartbeat. At least the guy plays and plays hard and he calls out his coach. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. We got to get someone, eh? We can't just draft. Sammy, please tell me we're not going to draft this player and, you know, do the strength in numbers shit. Please give me something where they're going to use
he's going to draft. He's on New Zealand Breakers. He's promising he plays 8 minutes a game right now, but the upside's high.
I'm one of those losers who actually watches NBL, mate. We don't want that. Trust me. We don't. Yeah.
That's my favorite part where it's like, if you don't watch the games, people will be like, oh, he looks exciting. It's like he plays 8.2 minutes a game. I promise you, he's not ready to contribute in the playoffs in the NBA anytime soon. Yeah.
And I love that. The last thing I was going to say, I love that thing you guys said last pod about, you know, how you're talking about the superhero analogy. You know what I thought of when I was talking about LeBron and Steph and I? You guys read the comic Kingdom Come? You know, when Superman, they were all old and they all came back and they came out of retirement to fuck all the new superheroes up because they'd gone the wrong way. That's exactly what's got to happen this Olympics. So they've got to team up and go, we're not putting up with this shit anymore, eh? Like, fuck this. Let's do something. Let's get nuts. Like, but anyway, good luck to your baby daddy. You keep going, Sammy, and I'll see you next pod.
Luke, appreciate you as always, Luke. You know you're always welcome on here. Have a great evening. We're going to end it there. Andy, good show.
What a show.
Congrats, my man.
Thank you.
I didn't want to say it on the pod, you know? But you know, I don't know if you're ready. But Luke ruined the whole thing. We can always get Tim to edit this out.
I've got 6 months to go, Sammy. I've got 6 months. Months to go. They say it goes by fast. We'll see. And then the next 20 years go by long. That's what they say. I don't know whether to believe that or not.
After my day, I have no comment. But anyway, love you. Love everyone listening. Have a great evening.